Let's go to Genesis 35, 15 through 21. I did not know last night, we were sitting around the table of fellowship and eating. I mentioned something to the men about Jacob and his wife and who he is buried by and Leah. And I had no idea I'd go home from work today and the Lord would turn my attention to this scripture, not even with that in mind, but it's basically got the content is in there. Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. Judgment begins at the house of God. And the place that God speaks for you, it may be on a bar stool. It may be driving in your car. It may be when you come to church. But wherever God speaks to you, that's the house of God and the gate to heaven. And the Lord opened up the gate to him that day, and he called that place Bethel, meaning the house of God. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way they came to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And she is pregnant with Benjamin, her second and last child. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not. Thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, in the waning moments and breath, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is in Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar, listen close, Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread out his tent beyond the tower of Edar. I want to preach for a little while tonight. You have the right to rename it. You have the right to rename it. Lord, we come before you tonight. We're thankful for your mercy, your grace, your love, your truth. All the attributes of God are eternal. And everything we see today will pass away. But heaven and earth, even though it should pass away, your word will stand forever. So anoint me as we deliver your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have names for everything. Names go back basically when you look up, I'll call it nameology, but there's a name for it. It's epitheology. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it goes back to the beginning of things. And in the book of beginnings is the book of Genesis, right? That's the very book of beginnings. And I like to know how things began. I like to, if somebody's fighting, I want to know how it started. I want to know who it started. Somebody's rejoicing, I want to know what made you rejoice. Amen. If you want to repent, you got to go back to the beginning. Amen. So it really all goes back to the beginning. And so we find that in the very beginning, God began to do the first naming of things. And when he looked in Genesis 1 and 1 and 2 and so forth, he looked at the world and it was in turmoil and it was chaos. And it was darkness upon the face of the deep and the face of the waters. And he didn't name that. No, he didn't name that. He didn't say, "I'm going to call that chaos." No, but what he did, he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And he called the light, didn't call it light, called it day. Capital. If you read a book, it says capital. And he called the light day. Well, when the light showed up, the darkness went away. So he said, "Well, you know what? I'm going to call the darkness, I'm not going to call it darkness, I'm going to call it night." So he called the light day, and he called the darkness, he called night. But can I tell you, it was up to him. He could have called, that's where we get day, light, right? Right. But what if he had said, "I'm going to call the light night"? Then we'd had night light. We had night light. "And I'm going to call the day," that's darkness. So today was sure a dark day, right? That's what we say. And we reverse these things. In fact, the day will come and say, "They're so evil is good and good is evil." But God named things because he created it. If I create something, which I have created a few things, I name what I want to name them. Because I created them. If I create it, I name what I want to name it. Did you know you can sign your name any way you want to sign your name? Do you know you can pronounce your name any way you want to name? Because it's your name. Some people sign, they go, that's it. And other people, they're going to make every letter. That's fine. But you better do it the same way every time because that's your signature, right? So it's up to you because it's your name. And so we find that God, and my point is that God could name whatever he wanted to name it because he created it. And so he goes on and he divides the firmament, the waters from the waters, and he calls the firmament, I'm going to call that heaven. I'm not going to call it firmament, I'll call it heaven. And he separated them, and it was a capital. Then he gathered the waters together, and the earth came out, and he said, I'm going to call that earth. The dry land, that's earth. And then all the waters where they gathered, I'm going to call that seas. Well, what would happen if he said, well, I'm going to call the land seas, and I'm going to call the dry land water? We'd be walking on water. Praise God. Because whatever he calls it, that's what it is. Amen. And so God began to name things, and he come along, and he made himself an image, and he called it Adam. Could have called him Sue. He had been tough, if you know the song, but he called him Adam, meaning red dirt or dirt. Because why? He made him from dirt, so he called him dirt. He called him Adam. And so he told him, he said, you know, I've named almost everything I've created. I've named the ninth, the day. But you know, all these animals here, I'm going to let you name them to see if you're like me. Do you know God does a lot of times just to see if you're like him? See what you'll do with the situation? Remember the bumper sticker that says, do what Jesus would do, and it was initials for it? I don't see that much anymore. I didn't go over too good. Because we should do what he would do in every situation. So sometimes God puts you in a situation to see if you would do what he would do. Because we're supposed to be Christians, right? Christians means following Christ. And so when we look at Genesis 2:19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, but he didn't give them name. But brought them unto Adam. He just said, all y'all line up. Adam, see. And he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Let's see what Adam will do. I named him. Let's see what he names them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name of it. What's God letting you call today? What are you going to call it? The things that happen in your life, the things that God brings your way, what are you going to call it? Blessings, cursings, what are you going to call it? Because whatever you call it, that's what it is. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the fowls of the air, eagles and buzzards and all that, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And we talked about that just, I think, last sermon. And so Adam didn't create this, but out of him came a creation. Out of his side, God made a woman. And he brought her to Adam, and Adam called her, gave her a name, woman. Can I break it down one more time for you? Some of you, this is getting to be old hack cracks, but woman means womb, man. Because the Bible says, because she was taken out of his side. God made a womb in man and took out a man called womb man. And he called her woman, meaning womb man. And God closed his flesh back up. So out of his flesh, he said, woman. Because she was taken out of me, created from me. So he could call her what he wanted to call her. Amen. But that was what before the fall of man. But then after man fell, he named her again. He renamed her Eve. Because now she will be the mother of all the living. Because Adam didn't know his wife until chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she had two sons. And so therefore, when she began childbearing, he renamed her because she would be the mother of all the living. You have the right to rename it based upon what it will become. Are you with me? Rename it based upon what it will become. What are you calling it today? But let's call it what it will become. And she became the mother of all of the living. And many times, regardless of the first name or whatever it was called, many things get renamed. I renamed some cities. Hello. I've renamed some people. Have you? Don't leave me out here like I'm the only wicked one. And I renamed them based upon my experience with them. Now I call them that. I have the right to rename it based upon my experience. You might remember there was a man that had so many devils, we don't even know his name. Because it overrode his name because he had so many devils, they just called him Legion. Why? Because he had so many devils. But I just believe when the Lord cast them devils out, he wasn't known by Legion no more. He was renamed, perhaps to his original name, but he wasn't called Legion anymore because those devils was gone. You have the right to rename it. Relabel it. One time when I was practicing dentistry, I was riding a four-wheeler, not while I was practicing, but I was, messing around. And I hit a stump and broke a couple toes and knocked toenail off, big toenail off. Ooh, yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. Well, I had to go back to work. It wasn't like life-threatening, so I had to get some crutches and all that. So I'd hobble into work, sit down, and sometimes they'd ask me what happened, sometimes they didn't. Well, people would call back for an appointment. My brother was practicing with me, and he was Tom, and I was Marshall, but they couldn't remember the first name. They just remember the last name. They said, well, which one did you see? And they would say, the one with the limp. That's how they knew. They relabeled me the limp. The one that had the limp. It was temporary. It went away. I don't limp anymore. But that's what they labeled me, based upon their experience with me. And so we find that even when Abram had an experience with God, the Lord said, I'm renaming you. I don't want you to be named. I don't want people to know you by the person you used to be, by the idolatrous you used to be, and your father Terah, and all of these idols y'all used to have. Because you're my, I've chosen you, and you're a man of faith and a man of promise. You're no longer going to be called Abram, but Abraham. And Sarai will no longer be Sarai, she's going to be Sarah. Because out of you will come one called Isaac. He didn't change Isaac's name. Why? Isaac was the one born on the pew, slept under the pew, listened to the word. He grew up in the church and stayed in the church. So Isaac, he was always Isaac. But he had two sons, and there was trouble. And the trouble started because he married a woman that was a heathen. He married an idolatrous woman named Rebekah. And she is pregnant with twins. And she goes to God, she goes to her husband, and her husband goes to God. She said, if I'm so blessed, why am I thus? Why am I struggling? And that's many times we're that same way. God, if we're so blessed, why are we struggling? I can't really pay my bills. My health is doing this and all this. And the Lord said, inside of you are two manner of people and two nations. And what we find is they both come out bad in the beginning. One fighting with the others. And so we find that Esau was Esau always. He was always Esau. But Jacob, any Jacobs in here? Amen. We were all Jacob at one time. I don't want to still be Jacob. I want to be changed. I want to be renamed. Based upon my future and not upon my past. Will you clap your hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. So Jacob flees for his life from his brother and he runs to a place. Why did he stop at that place? Can I tell you why he stopped at that place? He ran out of gas. I've stopped a couple times because I ran out of gas. Anybody run out of gas? Don't make me feel like I'm the only person that ran out of gas. Okay. Well, you stopped, right? Well, that's what happened. The sun went down, and Jacob said, well, there ain't no other place around the place, so this must be the place. And he parked there and fell asleep and laid his head upon some stony rocks, and he had that for a pillow. But while he's sleeping, the Lord visits him. And you know the story. He sees the ladder, and this is none other. He wakes up, and he said, man, how dreadful is this place? Man, I've done so much wrong. I've deceived my father, and God is still talking to me. Do you know God still talks to his children when they're not his children yet? Because he knows. He talked to you before you ever got in the church. And he was talking to him, telling him, promising him things that he looked like, yeah, how in the world could that happen? Do you see what I just did back then? You must not be God, because you didn't see I just deceived my father and stole this from my brother. And he said, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you? You with me on what I did? No, I'm with you on changing you. And so he wakes up. And he says, how dreadful this place. This is none other than the house of God and the gate to heaven. And he called that place Bethel, which was at the first named Luz. So he begins the renaming process, not based upon what the world called it, but on what his experience was. And the Luz meant almond tree. I suppose there was a lot of almond tree. I don't know why they... I mean, I've seen places called Oak Lane. I figure I ought to see some oak trees, right? Pine Hill, I ought to see pines. They called it Luz because there probably was a lot of almonds, but he wasn't interested in the almonds. That didn't mean anything to him. What he said is, this means something to me. So y'all can call it what you want to, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to call it the house of God, because this is where I got my start. This is where God talked to me. This is where the gate opened to me. This is where my mind got clear that what I used to do, I don't want to be anymore. And he started thinking different. And he even changed the name of that place to Bethel, the house of God. You have the right to rename based upon what you encounter. Shortly thereafter, Jacob finds himself wrestling with God himself, the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And he's saying, bless me. Lord, you got to bless me. I won't let you go till you bless me. And I've said this before, Jacob wanted a legitimate thing, but he went about it in an illegitimate way. He wanted the things of God, but he didn't do it right. Yep. And so many times, I know you're talented and you want to sing, but you still got to do it right. It doesn't matter how good you preach. You still got to do it right. And so it was. Jacob wanted the right thing, but he was going around about it the wrong way. But now he's changing, and he's changing. And now that he's changing, God's ready to change him. And he's, Lord, I'm not letting you go. Yeah, you remember when you got the Holy Ghost? Lord, I'm not going home. Do you feel me with the Holy Ghost? I am not going home till I get... And the Lord said, well, if you ain't going to let me go, it's getting late. I might as well fill you with the Holy Ghost. Something there's many, many, many people got at 12 o'clock at night. Everybody said, phew, I was ready to go home. And he wrestled with God and said, Lord, bless me. And the Lord said, what is your name? And he said, I am what they say I am. I am Jacob. I am a deceiver. I am a conniver. And the Lord God said, not anymore. Not anymore. No, 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 no. I'm renaming you because you show me how steadfast and how diligent and how you want the things of God. No, I'm not naming you according to your past. I'm going to name you according to your future. For as a prince with God, thou hast power with both man and God and hath prevailed. I'm going to call you a prevailing name. I'm going to call you Israel. Hallelujah. Not based upon what you did, but based upon what you will become. And after now let me tell you something. He had an experience with God, and Jacob was called Israel, and he changed his name. People continued to call him Jacob, but he was Israel. And when you get renamed, it was because he's supposed to change. If God renames you, you better change. Don't call yourself a Christian and not be one. Amen. And I want to remind you that when God changes you, you have to change everything. Amen. What is your name? My name is Jacob. It's no longer going to be Jacob. It's going to be a prince with God. And I've said this before. We need to realize that we're one Lord, one faith, and no sweethearts. Be careful who you call honey, honey. Right? He said, you got to change. And you can't be the person you once were. But when God renames you and changes you on an experience, everything's got to change. When you experience the Holy Ghost, everything's got to change. Paul said this way, I am a new man in Christ Jesus. A new man. All things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. So when he thought out from that, he said, he renamed that place, Penuel. I don't know what it was at the first, but he said, it's no longer that to me. To me, this is Penuel, because this is the place I met God face to face and my life was preserved. Do you have some places you've renamed? I got some spots I could show you on the side of the road. How about you? Renamed it. There's places you've had a wreck, okay? And you go, man, right there is where I had that wreck. How about, can I take you to some places I said, right there is where God got a hold of me. Right there on that piece of carpet right there, I got a name for that piece of carpet. God wants you to rename places, people, and things when you come to him based upon your experience with him. To everybody else, the backside of the desert in Midian, Moses was just walking in sand. But when the Lord, he had an experience with the burning bush, the Lord said, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, you're on. Lord, this is just sandy old ground. It's time to rename it. It's time to rename the ground based upon your experience with God. He told Joshua the same thing. And when you have an experience with God, rename that place. The old song says, brother, you know it. I can take you to the place. I can tell you the time where the Lord saved me. I can too. I can take you to the place. I can show you the pew. How about you? Can you? Shake your right for this place I was kneeling. Amen. It's a holy place to me. In the New Testament, many times it didn't change your name. In fact, y'all still with me? Okay. In fact, when Elizabeth was going to have a baby, the Lord said, call him John. And they're like, John? John. How you say it? John. J-H-O-N. John. And Zachariah says, we don't have no Johns in our lineage. I want to call him Zachariah Jr. because we're a priest. And Zachariah means in priest of the Lord. I want to be known. And he said, no, you call him John. And he, you know what happened? The Lord made him silent till he was willing to call him John. So when he was willing to call him John, he opened up his mouth. He said, John, John, I'm with y'all, John. John, love that name, John. Right, right. So what happened was he was still named John. His name didn't change, but they added something to it. John the, He wasn't because he attended the Baptist church. It was because he was baptized and he was known by what he did. And Jesus was just Jesus till he became the Christ. And then he was known as Jesus the Christ. What are you known by? What are you known by? Amen. People ought to know you by what you do in the kingdom of God. And I've told you before, I wish people didn't know me by anything but what I do in the kingdom of God. Because that's the only thing that's going to last. Amen. Now, our text. I'm sorry, I've got to get back to my text. In our text, Jacob loved Rachel more. It was apparent than he did her sister Leah. Leah had had 10 children by the time Rachel had one. And finally Rachel has had enough. Now she's advancing in age. You imagine Leah's had 10 kids. I don't know how old she was. I'm sure history will tell you. And maybe the Bible does, but I don't know. But she was older. She went to him mad and said, you give me children, else I die. Now, many times that meant I don't want my lineage to die, because all the women wanted to be, in fact, Abraham's lineage, that was real close to Abraham, they wanted to be in the lineage of Christ with that promise. They was hoping it would be out of my loins, it would come out of me, the Christ will come. And she said, give me children, else my lineage dies. She didn't know what she was asking for. Give me children, else I die. And he said, am I God? Well, God had mercy on her. But sometimes when you get what you pray for, there is a trade-off. Listen close. Sometimes you can pray for something, and it's like, give me the outside eye, and finally God gives you. Sometimes there's a trade-off. And so many times we pray, God use me, God use me. I've prayed that. Do you know what problems I went through so God could use me? I didn't know what I was praying. I just said, Lord, I want to be used. I didn't know you had to go through all that to be used to God. Now I know. But it's too late. Now I say, God, use me. God, bless me. Sometimes you don't know what you're asking for. David said, Lord, my afflictions, they were good for me. At first, I didn't see it as good for me. Now David says, I realize now it was good for me. So when you pray many times for things, you got to understand, sometimes there's a trade-off. And so she said, God, give me children, and Jacob, give me children, else I die. It was like Job said this. He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes God, when he adds something to you, something else is released or something else is subtracted. Amen. And Jacob was going home to be in his father's house, back to where Abraham was buried, and Rachel goes into hard labor along the way. Rachel, not being a young woman anymore, it would be stressful for her as well as stressful for the baby, being at her age, life-threatening for both of them. And perhaps fear gathered upon her that maybe the child will die before I have the child. But her midwife came to her and said, fear not, for thou shalt have this child also. But what she didn't tell her is you won't live. The child will, but you won't. Let's pick this up, because this is where it's going to really get good. Genesis 35 and 18, it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. Last word. Benoni. And she died. But his father called him, Benjamin. I'm going to rename him too. God renamed me based upon experience. I'm not going to let her experience be the one that names this child. Amen. I'm going to let my experience name this child. For in that day, the father chose the name, not the women. Now today, it's kind of reversed. I saw a name one time. It was L-A. It had a dash, A. How do you pronounce that? Ladasha. Ladasha. And sometimes I'm embarrassed to ask anybody their name. I go, oh, nice. And then the spelling of it is, I'm terrible with spelling. I can add numbers, but I can't spell. So Benoni, she said, and the father said, oh no. Because in a moment of pain, and in a moment of agony, and in a moment of sorrow, and in a moment of dying and her departing, she named the child based upon her experience and said, this child I will name Benoni. Now, let me break it down for you. Benoni. Ben-Oni. Ben means son. Noni means sorrow. She named him son of my sorrows. That's worse than a boy named Sue. How do you like to live? I was my mother's sorrow. How would you like to be Jacob and said, come here, my son of sorrow, my child of sorrow, my son of sorrow. And remind yourself of what she went through so he could have life. And call him by the pain she experienced. He said, no. I'm not doing that. I'm going to call him based upon what I want him to be in God. And in the life. I'm going to rename him. You have the right to rename things based upon your experience and belief in God. So he said, oh no, No. I'm the one that chooses the name around here and not you and your situation. And I love you, but you're not going to name him Benoni. And he named him Benjamin. Let's break it down. Ben, son of Jamin, my right hand. Woo! Son of my power. Son of my right hand. Because he would become his right hand. He would become the one. The Bible says that his life was wrapped up in the life of Benjamin. It would be through Benjamin that gets them all to go back to Egypt. I know Jacob was there, but Joseph was there, but Joseph said, if Benjamin don't come, you don't come back. It would be this son that would be the power that would bring the father there. Oh, he could have left him son of my sorrows. Son of my sorrows. But he called him Benjamin. And as they come tonight, I just really believe it's time for somebody, and perhaps all of us, to rename things of your past that you named them out of pain, you named them out of sorrow, you named them out of anger, you named them out of hate, you named them out of hurt, you named them out of what you went through. Now if you're really living for God, look back and you'll see it was good for me that I went through that. Now I need to rename those things and say, thank you, Lord, I went through that. Thank you, Lord, they talked about me. Thank you, Lord, for all those things. And rename it, because that's what gave you your future. Oh, God, help us today. Rename your pain. Rename your sorrows. Rename what you went through. Don't let a moment of what you went through dictate the rest of your life. And Rachel, this is where it really gets good. And Rachel, not where Rachel died, but Rachel died and was buried in the way. Never made it back. And I told the men last night, as much as he loved Rachel, he was buried by Leah. Huh. And Rachel died and was buried at Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Can you imagine Jacob would have, his wife, what he would do if his wife was named, let that name of Benoni stand? She dies. Come on, my son of sorrow, let's go on home. Now don't miss this part. Genesis 35 and 20. And Jacob. Say Jacob. That old man. Anytime you read, many times scripture you'll see Jacob this and Israel that in the same verse or the next line. It's because it talks about the carnal man, Jacob. And then it talks about the spiritual man, the renamed man is Israel. And you'll look when it uses Jacob, you'll see it's about the carnal man. And then when you read about Israel, it's about that spiritual man. So watch. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. Jacob, the carnal man, set up a monument in a dead place and said, Lord, I'm never going to get past this. Lord, it'll be there to the rest of my life. He's not going to get past it. But Israel went on. Israel not only journeyed, enlarged his space. What are you going to do? You going to let the past get you down and set up a pillar and say, I'll never get over this. I'm never going to go on. I'll never be. Or will you be Israel and use the name God give you as a conqueror? We are more than overcomers. We're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. As you stand tonight, who's going to win? Who's going to win? Is it going to be Jacob or Israel inside of you? Amen. Are you going to stay where you're at and stay in a dead place, or are you going to enlarge your tents and say, I loved her, and you know, that was a bad situation, but out of that came some good. Amen. Out of this, it's not Benoni, it's Benjamin.
Amen.
Rename your bad situations based upon not a moment in history, but based upon your destiny in God.
Well, thank you, Jesus.
As they sing tonight, I give you a moment right there where you're at to rethink some situations. You know, it don't take long to rethink things.
Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. And I will trust you and obey. And when your Spirit it speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Well, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. And when your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
I got to tell you this before we go. Sister Cecilia, it would be all right if you asked me a question and I answered it in the hospital. It would be all right if I kind of... Because it's too late now, huh? I've already... Okay. Brother Craig was in the hospital. And we're glad... Where are you at, brother? We're so glad that you're... Amen. The Lord intervened. They didn't find anything wrong with his heart. Amen. They're going to check a few other things, but I'm telling you, you seen him the other day, and I didn't see him in his distressful time, but you look at it, you better rename that situation. Rename that. Say, this is where I changed, right here. That was the day that I made up my mind to do things different. Rename it. And so Sister Cecilia was asking me just a general question about, you know, how hard it is when past things happen and you got the scars of the past. How do you forget those things? And here's what I told her. I said, you know, I got some scars. Let me show them to you. I got one right here. I got one right here, and I got one. And as soon as I see that scar, I remember what I did to get it. I had, you know the little crimpers you cut little bushes with? I had that. And I had a big one. And the little one could not cut that dead limb. Dead limbs are harder to cut than live ones, if you know what I mean. And so I had in my other hand the little one, and the blade was open. And I went, and it finally snapped and went through. When it did, that blade caught my finger and opened it up. I could see the tendons and the blood vessels. I wrapped it up, took off for Leesville, and when the doctor sewed me up, she said this, "You have somebody watching over you." She said, "Sir, there is no way that you could have cut yourself like that and those tendons and those nerves not be cut." I said, "The Lord knows I pick a banjo. That's all I can tell you. He wants me to keep picking." And that's a place I thank God for. But if I look at that, I relive it. I relive it. And if we look at our scars, you'll relive it. They're always going to be there. If rehearsing it would reverse it, we would all be well. But rehearsing it won't reverse it. I got in my truck one day to get some lumber at Stein's, and I pulled up with my trailer. I pulled up far, and I waited, and finally said, "Hey, come on back up here. We'll load you up." And I forgot all about that trailer being on that truck. You ever done that? Forgot about that trailer. You know what it does, huh? Yeah, I backed up, just forgot, and put it in reverse, and heard crunch. I didn't even look. Pulled up, looked in my mirror, I backed up, and I just got out. I didn't even look at it. And there was a man standing there. He went, "I'm serious." He said, "Did you just see what you just did to your truck?" I looked at it and said, "Bad, ain't it?" He said, "And you ain't cussing?" I said, "That'd fix it? That would fix it?" He said, "Boy, I'd be cussing." I said, "That won't fix it." Amen. Amen. So don't relive these scars. Rename them. This is where God brought me from. This is not hurtful anymore. Scars are made to take out the pain. It's not an open wound anymore. That's what scars do. They take out the pain. This is where I used to be, but this is what God has brought me into. Rename those situations that you went through. Can you do that? I'll say yes, Lord, yes.